This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 302 pounds. That's right, he's coming down, but still above three bills. From the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born. Still part of this bit, huh? Yep, that's right. Abortion is healthcare. That is important and always will be. But Jackson, I feel like you need to be replaced soon. But not yet. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur's in the living room staring at my wife with intense separation anxiety. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, first time guest from the Versus Podcast, we got Adam Peacock and Caitlin Hempstead.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
Here we go,
so,
baby.
This is great.
This is nice.
This
Thank
is
you.
Great.
That feels this really good. You were referring to your wife as your mom. Can we get into that?
She's technically my stepmom. Just to keep,
oh my God,
keep with
dream.
Trends.
Is she stuck in a dryer right now?
Jen? Yeah.
Get out of here.
I don't know. She's reaching for something deep underneath the coffee table and is unable to get out.
Get out there and help her, man.
Grease
man.
That woman up.
Man, we should really unpack that as a nation as to when, when porn directors, you know, became children of divorce and all step stuff got involved. Like,
because it's like the dominant thing now. It's not even like this is taboo. It's just porn.
It's the default almost. It's hard to watch something that isn't step siblings or step mom and kid. It's really weird. Like, I sometimes have to I just want to be like, oh, she's hot. Let me watch this one. Then it's like, I don't really need the stepmom thing. All right, I'm going to just ignore it. And I'm a story guy, you know?
The thing. That's what's so hard, you know? Is that it's like, I'm a character person and I want to sink my teeth in like, why this is happening. It's
like, I miss, that's what I miss the most. I mean, I guess that's because back in the day, I'm old enough, shouldn't speak for everyone, but old enough to have watched full porns, I ever made it like the 90 minutes through, but like it had like
Brag.
All right, 88 minutes, could never go any longer. It always felt like there was like an overarching story, so some of these scenes meant something, and then when those clips would get pulled, then they would start making just scenes, then it became like weird like casting couch and amateur stuff, and now it's like the scenes they are making are all like, your dad would never do this to me, and you're like, oh, come on.
What happened to nice people just having sex? I like the ones where like the porn star shows up as herself and there's an exchange and they just have sex and that's it. That's the stuff that I like.
You want Riley Reed to be like, hi, I'm Riley Reed. I'm going to take money for this sex now.
Yeah, I'm consenting. Thank you, Riley. We're two grown-ups. They shake hands.
That's hot to Adam.
To me, I like it all being above board and sorted out before hits the fan.
I want to see them sign the consent forms. Mm-hmm.
I don't need any headaches.
God damn it. The red tape on these pornographies are driving me up a fucking wall.
I think the first porno I found in my house, it was like the same thing, John, like an hour and a half. And there were, I think, four or five sex scenes, but there was a lot of like, there's a house party and we can't leave the house.
Yeah. My first porno for like the neighborhood was Passenger 69 Part 2. So, and it had a really poorly made skydiving sex scene, like where clearly it was just like a box fan and they were like on, with a blue background and like had like backpack with two strings that went out of frame and they're doing like standing 69ing and like all this humping and stuff. And I remember just thinking like, this is like peak cinema. I love Passenger 57.
Is art.
Yeah.
It was funny that there was no black dude in the movie, and that was something me and my friends got into. It was like, Passenger 57 has the famous line, always bet on black. Feel like that works in a porno as well.
Is this a reference to a movie?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe Passenger 69 Part 1 never saw it, so I was always a little lost in Part 2. Mm. Never really quite understood everyone's motivations.
Maybe he died in the first one, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah, like John Cutter.
Wesley Snipes' character's name, of course, from Passenger 57. I can't even confuse them all now. Oh my God, I put the wrong one on at American Cinematheque.
Everybody came here to watch the porno, and now they've got to watch this
now
film.
Now they're so bored. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We're the Action Boys here to premiere. Oh no, wrong one. Looks like we're the porno boys
fucking.
Now. I'm so stoked to hear more about your guys' new podcast, but that'll come at the end. But for now, you guys mentioned action figures in the pitch, and maybe in a moment of a fugue state mentioned action figures and forgot it. But I am pumped to talk action figures because I'm not an action figure adult, but I was had a bunch when I was a kid. Was curious about this because once this was on the docket to talk about, I've noticed that like kids still have action figures and dolls. You would think that might be the toy that goes by the wayside. It feels like technology would get us past that in some way. But trucks and fucking action figures and dolls, that shit is just permanently. It's been working since like the 30s or something. I mean,
baby dolls too.
Yeah, baby dolls.
Baby dolls are fucking weird to me, anyways.
Yeah, to like, you mean like when a young child has a baby and they like
when a little toddler is. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm that shit always stresses me out. That gets
weird.
I had this 9 months old at 9 months old.
Yeah, right.
And we all just accept it. Can I tell you why this happened? Can I tell you the context under which I sent that email? Because I feel like a fucking idiot.
It was right after you ran into someone who looked like me somewhere in Hollywood.
They beat the shit out of me.
Oh, shit. Okay. See? I knew it was you.
Oh, my God. We think we ran into each other. Anyway, what happened was I was thinking about how, like, on our podcast, I feel like I often get to pick the character that I want more. And on my podcast, where we talk about conspiracy theories, I get to talk about exactly what I want. But on Adam's individual podcast, he doesn't get to, like, be himself and really talk about things that he loves. And a thing that keeps happening on Versus is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will come up. Adam will talk about some action figures that he badly wanted, and I just thought, you know, maybe this is the platform finally for him to just
I love this. Yeah, I think that makes total sense. Yeah, you don't have to contend with like I'm Freddy Krueger's glove maker and now you have to deal with like an extended improv riff where I'm the guy who makes gloves now. Like, this is better. We could just talk we could just be grown-ups talking toys.
Just personally.
But write that down because we should do that later.
It's like a bitch.
Yeah, I say fuck it. Let her rip.
I did, man. I grew up. My mom was a single mom, and I was an only child, and I got spoiled rotten. Those Ninja Turtle things I keep bringing up to Caitlin. I had them all when I was a kid, and I broke them all. Like, I broke all their little weapons and toys. So for one Christmas, my mom rebought me all the figures in the little carrying case, and that was underneath the tree.
Oh,
it was rad as hell.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, this is just going to be like me relitigating my shitty childhood of like, oh, I would have fucking killed for it. If I broke something, it would be like we would meld it back together with lighters. Like, we'd be like, we can't not have the fucking Leonardo sword. He's a fucking cuck without his sword. Yeah, we were using that word a lot in the early 80s.
Wow, you were very advanced
early
90s children.
90s gay jokes and slamming on cucks with no swords.
Oh, yeah. Bad R word. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. All the R words.
Think of a few. We used it.
We have used them. Plus a few you haven't even heard yet.
Yeah.
What about, did you have the Ninja Turtle van that shot the pizzas?
Or I had the van.
Here's the thing. Also, every once in a while, I pitch a toy to like a friend, my age. I'm like, did you have this thing? And they're like, ah, no, I'm a toy expert. I've never even heard of that. I've Googled it. And then it realizes it's like some toy I like dreamed of having when I was a kid. I'd be like, there's a good chance people are like, shoots pizzas. And I was just like a little fat kid was like, if a gun shot fully loaded pizzas, that would be awesome.
Oh, I'm 41 and that still sounds great.
Yeah. Do you love Clippers games? Because they'll shoot anything out of a cannon.
Oh, man. Imagine a pizza cannon that kind of sprayed the cheese, oil, and like stuff. And like, it didn't really come out fully complete as a pizza. It just kind of shotgun spread the ingredients all over.
If we talked about this before, I'm sorry, but did you guys ever see that Tom Green clip, Undercutters?
No.
It was a bit on his show where he would drive around with a tackle box full of pizza ingredients and he would follow delivery drivers to somebody's house. And then he would run up on the person delivering the pizza and offer to make them a pizza for less money if they went with his business.
Like in their house?
In their house. Like, I think like on their porch, like, I'll make this for you, but for less. And one guy did not do well with it.
What do you mean? Like he threw up?
No. You could just tell like he was a delivery driver that was like maybe on a second or third strike. And he was like, this was it for him. And he went after Tom Green. It was pretty funny.
It's funny how many comedy shows the premise is like, fuck with a small business owner and hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about you, Fielder.
I grew up on Jerky Boys, which was all about like, planking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it would just be like, eventually you'd be like, man, how many times did they call just a random pizza place? like these guys are just legitimately bothering people. I mean, in hindsight, I was doing a lot of prank calls back in the day.
Sure.
Were you? Yeah. What, like the classics, or were you thinking up fun new bits?
The classics, we would always, once we were in like late high school, early college, we would do the butt for, try to get them to say, well, what's a butt for? And then you go for pooping, silly. I think that was from South Park. And we also used to do stuff like, hey, like just try, in hindsight, it's like fucked up, like mental games where we would be like, now, can you just come outside and place your shoes outside your door so we can we would just, in college, we would just try to get people to do weird shit. Like, yeah, and it's right. And this is Marina's Pizza. You will win a free order of pizza and wings. Okay, we just need to confirm that you are, in fact, a Marist student. If you could leave your sneakers outside your dorm building. And like that's, and we would just be watching their door and be like, thank you very much. Like, no, and then go try to steal their sneakers or some shit. Like,
Fine line, like you said earlier, John, between mass murderer and comedian.
Yeah. You're like,
just fucking with people.
If you have the power to do that, you have the power to be like, all right, now climb into that van. All right, perfect. Yeah, I know there's a tarp on the ground, but don't worry about that.
That one guy did it at McDonald's, right? Did he make somebody like,
that's what I was thinking
about. Employees? Like, yeah.
That's what I was thinking about. I forget what the name of that movie. They made a movie of it, a dramatization of this event, but someone would infamously call fast food restaurants, accuse and pretend to be someone high up at the corporation, accuse an employee of stealing, tell another management employee to take that employee aside, but would eventually get them to some weird line-crossing, boundary-crossing shit, like lock them in the fridge, tell them to remove their clothing.
What?
And it would be like this power game. And that's what I was thinking of when I was watching that movie. I was like, fuck, man. Like, there was a time in my life when I'd be like, this is so funny. He's got, you're watching this movie, you are absolutely shook. And then it's like, this is based on something that really happened to people. And you're like,
this is a person's life.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, you fucking monsters. And I was like, wait, I kind of did something similar, but it was goofy. No,
but for me, it was fun.
Yeah. But for me, it was fun. Oh, right. That's
like, I'll, in your defense, I think it's kind of like how they test a bunch of weird, like, projects. Or products on college students, or you know how like every sort of psych research study is mostly college students because they're just sort of easy to get to.
Yeah,
and I think like that's what you were. It's different when it's college students. It's like if they come out a little fucked up, like their brains are
college
still
is going to do that to them anyway. Yeah.
Sure, they still have neuroplasticity. It's going to do it to them anyway.
Stanford Prison Experiment.
Yes, that was good, and I liked that.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I can't wait to do one myself. I want to be awarded so bad.
That's an awesome picture of Sheriff Joe Arpaio you have behind you, John.
he's a big guy to me. My first ever movie audition in my career. You know, like early on in your maybe whatever, early on in my career, I felt like my agents were like, yeah, just put him up, like just tell him go in for these like four movies because he's new. And I was going in for these things that sound. I went in for something called The Experiment, which was a movie about the Stanford prison experiment.
That. Oh, cool.
And I think Adrian Brody ended up being in the movie or something. And no one ever saw it or anything like that. But I think because that's why I remembered hearing about that experiment in like AP Psych or whatever. And then it like went out of my brain. And then when I was like, well, I got to do some research back when you like didn't just go like, okay, what is this? All right. My character's name is Hank. I'll say three lines, not get it. And we all can leave. Like, But back then I was like, let me Google Stanford. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then I got like really deep into that one.
Oh,
that one,
I did research.
I know. I really love those old school psych experiments. What's the one where they were shocking people, fake shocking people in the other room?
And the person in the white coat was like, continue pressing the dial. And it was like, don't do anything a Nazi says. Like,
right. And it wasn't hooked up to anything, but the people would just fall. They would be like, ah, someone's, please stop. He's like, don't stop. Keep pushing it. And it like showed how few people actually stopped pushing it, like despite it seeming to do severe damage to someone.
Didn't they then go back and figure out like, no, like because it was recorded, they played like the most shocking versions of it. But something like 87% of people were like, no.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm
not
going to hurt another human being. And then the remaining percent were like,
Milgram, something like that.
Yeah.
So speaking of Milgram experiment, segue back to toys. Watch this. Mm. What is it about figures and dolls that we like? Is it because we see our parents, hopefully holding us and playing with us, or is it there's something inherently powerful about manipulating small humanoid things like I have power and control and agency over this doll? Like what is the psych behind that? Or like, let's hypothesize why it's a stickingly powerful thing. Like, you know, I feel like if they did like, they can go to like ancient Egypt and like find like crumbling dolls buried with pharaohs and shit like that. Yeah.
Why were those pharaohs always dying as children? Also, why are so many little boys?
Yeah, man, they got to look both ways before they cross the street. They're getting creepy.
Stop putting kids in charge.
These damn chairs. I think, this brings up something specific and dark for me, this question.
By the way, that is Caitlin's normal response to most.
Yeah. I'm not so much a comedian as a bummer.
Hey, always a pleasure to have you around.
Oh,
I'm rocked.
Bring up the mood.
Emotionally.
I wanted to talk about Ninja Turtles. She jumped on the Stanford prison experiment.
Young at me. That's why we're perfect pair.
Mars, Venus, Pepsi.
Ooh, women and men. Men always want to laugh and women want to make you feel bad.
Wait, so do tell, Caitlin. I'm curious.
I was extremely into Polly Pockets, which are just like as tiny as you can make a doll. And they can do stuff. They have like little hip joints and stuff.
It was like a handheld dollhouse, more or less, right?
Yes.
Like the locket would close up to be like a cross section of a house. I remember that because it was the Rockin' Robin parody theme song to the commercial.
I don't.
Rockin' Robin.
Polly Pocket.
Yeah, it was Polly Pocket. Ooh, Polly Pocket.
They didn't even need to advertise that shit to me. I think I saw them in a friend's backpack once and was like, please, I need a doll so small I can put it up my nose.
Please, I got to go to the emergency room ASAP and get this
Mommy,
thing removed.
Please.
Well, that one makes, that one's crazy. Yeah, keep going. Sorry, but that's a specific one too, because if keeping the hypothesis that it's something about control, all of a sudden you are like the giant, like you can run a little Sim City of Polly Pockets.
Well, on the subject of control, my friend Nikki Bauman and I, our favorite game to play was Polly Pocket Suicides. Because
oh,
we have
favorite game. All right. Yeah, just that quote there was favorite game. Got it.
Not like only game where we like tortured a little helpless creature, but like favorite. And
sure,
so we would like, we had like the Polly Pocket mansion, which was probably like the size of a shoebox. And we would just think of ways for Polly Pockets to kill themselves. And they would like tie things to their feet and jump in the pool. And we'd make them like jump in the pool and like put them in the garage and turn on the car.
Wow. I mean, this is highly knowledgeable about methods of suicide for a couple of young kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are being Harold and Maude fans as kids or whatever. You do sound like Bud Cort from fucking Harold.
Polly Pocket goes to the doctor because she's decided she's at the end of her life.
She's trying to get euthanasia like author.
Dr. Kevorkian.
My favorite game was baseball. I really liked playing baseball when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was kind of split because I liked baseball, but I also did love Polly Pocket Suicide.
Yeah.
And whenever I would say
that,
I wanted to
actually,
play.
Actually,
anytime
in high
I said I wanted to play baseball, I had to go talk to the school counselor.
Yeah. how did we know so much about murder? Anyway, yeah, so I think that was some sort of like power trip. I'm a god of this world. Was that your experience with action figures?
Well, there's something certainly there too, where you're like, you know, lighting them on fire or, you know, like, oh no, this happened to them. Like, there is that, getting toys was a little bit, it changed a little by the time my youngest brother was like of getting toy age. My parents, I think, had a little more money and a little bit more like, why were we so withholding with the other two? so I think like we had such like apparent, like getting a toy or getting like, you'd go to your friend's house who had like the entire G.I. Joe commands mobile command unit and like 400 figurines. And they would just be like, oh, I lost one. To me and my brothers, it was like we had like fucking Beachhead and like one other guy. And we're like, we cannot lose these. We cannot fuck with them too much. Like we would lose like, you know, Mechanex fucking harness or whatever. And it would like break our heart. Like,
devastating.
We can never get new ones. We could get new toys, but if we can never cop to losing stuff. I say this way too much on the podcast, but I'm from the generation where you would get in trouble for things that were an accident. Like for like, standard 8-year-old, like, whoops, dropped my bowl of pasta. That's what you would get like yelled at or spanked. And you're like, it wasn't on purpose.
I caught the tail end of that. And I remember like other kids not having that be their experience. Like, I like lost my trombone or something that we were renting from the school. And I was like, I'm devastated. I'm really sorry. And my parents were clearly on this tipping point of like, do we yell at her? She's already crying. Like, go to your room. But when you're there, you can do whatever you want. Like, the generational angst they must have felt.
Yeah, it's so funny. That's the same generation that's like, of course you can come to me with anything that's bothering
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Lol, babe.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you taught me not to trust you.
Yeah. Sorry, mom and dad, but anything I've ever told you got me immediately in trouble, so I'm going to just go to school with no jacket on.
But no, yeah, let me definitely come out to you. That'll be fun. That'll be a good safe experience.
You're grounded.
Yeah. God forbid. I was like, mom, I think I knocked a girl up. You know what I mean? Like, God, the shit I would get in trouble for was so much lower stakes. Like, I remember being like 14 or 15 and like having a screaming match with my parents and being like, do you have any idea how lucky you are that I'm your fucking son? Like, the shit you're getting, like, I was like grounded forever for like getting in like disciplinary school trouble because I just couldn't behave in school. It was not for me. And it was like, I was like, you have no idea that kids at my school are like doing opiates. like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, I would like, you have no idea. I'm like, every teacher loves me. I'm charming, but they hate me because I'm disruptive. Like, there are like legit bad kids doing drugs, smashing windows and shit. And I'm just
it's like the Giuliani school of parenting where it's like, oh, if you let them get away with a little thing like broken windows, then they're going to become mass murderers. Yeah.
It is true. It is a little true. And then you'd be like, you know, then you get older and your parents would be like telling stories about like when they were fucked up, like doing fucked up kid shit with like pride.
Ah!
Yeah, we snuck into the school after dark and we did. And I'd be like, you would beat my ass raw if I did something like that.
A lot of them are drinking and driving related too. They were like, well, they'd pull you over. They just make you dump it out that you had it as long as you could get home safe.
God,
I recently watched a video that was like a news story of reactions to when drinking and driving became illegal. And like, you know, like those old news stories were like, well, what do you think, Mr. Peacock, about them building a new farm? And it was always like, these guys are like, I can't have a few pops after work. like just getting people on camera being so on the wrong side of history of like, I actually get a little relaxed and drive back. Like everything we now know about it is so
science. Funny.
That's the only time I get to myself after work. And then I got to go home. My goddamn kids are there.
right.
Yeah. You don't get to tell the news you hate your kids anymore, which is too bad.
It's a bummer. You can call in anonymously and just let them know, but that's not really a story or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
I should think about that. Sounds
there's way less pride in parents beating the shit out of their kids with their other friends.
Yeah, thank God that's fallen off.
Sure, yeah.
Like, anyone of my friends who's a dad, I'm like, could you imagine screaming at your kid for, like, dropping something? And they're like, God, no. Like, I can't even, like... Can't even scream at them for like school issues. Like I used to be like, you failed the fucking test. Now I'd be like, come on, son, let's discuss what you need to do here. It's like, I'm so stupidly envious of like my peers' kids. Like, it's
that's very sweet.
Just seeing seeing your friends be so supportive of like, I think I'm going to get them a keyboard. They keep talking about liking the piano. I was like, I was so into movies for like 20 years. And my parents were like, you have to be a lawyer. I was like,
I told my parents at 5 years old I wanted to be in TV, and they were like, absolutely not.
Oh, you want to be a movie, son? Is that going to pay for your food?
Right. But word for word, Adam, have you been talking to my mother, Annie Hempstead? Because please go up and talk with her.
Not to fully back Annie Hempstead on this, but I am having trouble getting food via the entertainment industry these days.
Like, I can't believe point.
They should have been a little more supportive, but also they were realists.
And yeah.
We're shit talking a whole generation, but it doesn't mean they were wrong.
Yeah. Adam, I feel like your mom was probably like fostering your dreams and shit from everything.
Oh, I got so lucky. My mom was the best, and she's still like that. But I think John, you were talking about getting into a fight with your. I got into one fight with my mom, and I don't even remember what it was over. But I remember I said something, and I think Caitlin, I might have even told you this. I said something, and I thought I won the argument. And like, I turned around to start walking away out of the kitchen. It was very quiet. And I thought to myself, it's too quiet. And she was coming down on me with like a huge wooden spoon. And I saw that look in her eye. Like, I'm going to fucking kill this kid if I get my hands on him. And she chased me through the house, just like whacking me with this thing. She was right. I probably had it coming. I had it coming.
Okay. But here's to the earlier point. Like, can you imagine striking a child? Like, not, I don't know. Things were different.
I think I was like 15 or something, though. So that might have made it a little easier.
Oh, yeah. I'd punch a 15-year-old for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd
1,000%.
Sock them in the stomach right now. Yeah. Like, I thought they were 18. God damn.
Yeah. Oops.
Give them the fucking Dane Cook, Russell Brand.
Oh, sorry,
Brand
I didn't
excuse.
Ask for ID. Right.
They were in the club.
The Stamos excuse.
Oh, no. John Stamos?
Wait, who am I thinking of? No, it was the other one.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry to that man.
Yeah, I'm positive if you look through Stamos' history, he's got nothing remotely resembling that based on his stature and his generation or whatever.
Yeah, he was alive in 1982. Like, of course.
We're not here to slander the. Yeah, he's the drummer on Kokomo. But we're not here to slander the Oikos spokesperson. We're here to talk. Dude, along those lines, one of my most, like, the thing that makes me kind of shudder in the shower, kind of regrets in life, and it's not even that big of a deal, but it's just I'm embarrassed by it mostly, is when I was younger, getting in a fight with my parents or an argument with my parents and me lying, like, I swear to God, I did turn in the assignment and I know I'm lying. And in hindsight, now that I'm a grown up, there's no way they didn't know I was lying.
Right.
It's so
and I'm
fucking obvious.
Digging my heels in, and I'm like, how come you don't believe me, with like tears in my eyes? And that is just more, I'm just like embarrassed for myself of like, really, that's where you made the stand of like, I didn't know the project was due. How the fuck, you know, and you're just like digging in, and I'm like, I swear, mom, you don't even fucking trust your own son, you know, like overly dramatic and shit. And you're like, oh my God.
Going for the
Emmy. I did that too. I feel really bad about that because I was raised better than that. And that lady didn't deserve that.
I can't speak to being raised better than that, but I should have been raised enough to know that is not like, but just in that. Those are the biggest. I'm not fucking drunk. I didn't even have anything to fucking drink. It's like, there's no way my mom can't tell I'm
2 a.m. on a Saturday and like Robbie dropped you off. Of course you're fucking drunk.
Just ran home from the schoolyard where we were drinking. I was playing Manhunt. You're like 14 years old.
Oh, yeah a lot tag. Of. I was playing Capture the Flag. Yeah.
Ran home.
I grounded myself once. I had so much internalized guilt as a child. It's Yom Kippur, so I think I should talk about this. I was so guilty.
This episode
all of the
will
time.
Be coming out in late June.
Just perfect. That's perfect timing. We'll have circled back to some other miserable Jewish holiday. I had to like get your parents to sign off on your homework assignments. And like say like, yes, she like complete or like, yeah, the teacher would send like a weekly thing that was like, if you did all your homework assignments, your parents sign it. And I like missed a couple assignments that week and I forged their signature. And I gave it back to the teacher and immediately just started like shaking with guilt and shame and got home and was like pale and crying. And my parents were like, what? And I was like, I've forged your signature on my homework report. And my memory of this for my entire life was that my parents disinvited me from dinner. Like they didn't ground me, but they were like going out to eat at like, who knows, Fresh Choice or something. And were like, I think that maybe you should not come with us tonight and stay home and think about it. And a couple years ago, I brought this story up with my mom and she was like, no, I remember that you disinvited yourself from dinner.
Oh my God. I don't deserve to eat with you, Mom.
I don't deserve to go to the buffet.
But please bring home mozzarella sticks.
Then I'll know you still love me.
That's really fucking... I called 911 on myself once because I started a fire.
What?
Do you mean? And I got brought home in a cop car at 13 years old. Oh, like, my God. Did you? And I had like a little World Cup 1994 like Italia hat on, like red and green flag and shit. I just remember, and the cops like, "That's a nice hat." So you're, and of course, you know, my parents weren't home. Surprise, surprise. That's why I'm at a school starting fire with shoplifted lighters.
Oh, Jonathan.
Shoplifting and arson really were, you know, coincided pretty strongly for my early teen years.
There's kids that are so much worse at school, Mom. You don't even know.
Right. Yeah, this was one of the bad ones. But this is where my heart of gold shined through. The second I saw people in their yards with hoses fighting back the fire as it spread across the entire school, I was like, now, my school, my elementary school was like a suburban block size. Like the field had like four baseball diamonds on it and like the playground and all this shit. And the grass was so dry in like August or whatever. And it just, so I called 911 and got to like sit in the cop car and get brought home. My parents weren't home. They're like, do you have a neighbor that you could go to? So I went to like my buddy's house and I was like, Joey, can your mom like take me from the cops or whatever? And like, so this is like my neighbor's mom had to call my mom's like, Jonathan just got dropped off by a cop or whatever. It's like,
I luckily
went to week-long 4-H camp that next day and like didn't have any overlap time with my dad, the real disciplinarian.
Oh yeah. I was good. And they'd already paid for it. So it's not,
and
like
they'd already like paid for it. So they're not pulling that away. And also like in hindsight, them sending me and my brother to sleepaway camp for a week is like a dream come true for them as well. Mm-hmm. So I go to sleepaway camp. I come home and my mom's friend, a friend of another kid that I went with, his mom drives us home, drops me off. My dad doesn't get off work till like midnight. It's like 3:30 p.m. or whatever. I go to sleep. I'm like, I'm so tired from a week at camp. Mm-hmm. Go to sleep at 3:30 p.m. and I sleep till like 24 hours, more or less. I like sleep till the next afternoon and I'm trying so hard to not get out of bed. I have to go to the bathroom so bad. And I'm like, I know I can hear my dad pacing around. He's just waiting for me to wake up. And I'm just like, and I when I went to bed, I'm like, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, I'll just sleep until my dad forgets about my punishment. And then it's like, I get up to go to the bathroom. He's like, Jody, let's go get in the car. And I have to get in the car.
Your dad, Donald Trump?
Well, he did really sound like that. Oh, my dad, yeah. He really had like a Donald, because he had the New York accent and then also like that weird, a little congested, all right? Like, it just sounded like that. Cleed, your robe. That's what he would yell at me and my brothers. Cleed, your goddamn robe. But he like just made me stare at the field and like sat in the car and looked at me until I started like crying. And I wasn't even doing it for like to get out of it. I just really started weeping. And then he got in the car. He's like, blah, blah, blah. You're grounded for the rest of the summer until you go back to school or whatever, all this. And I was like, oh, but that, I just remember standing there looking at it. And I was like, I do feel bad that I did this. Like I already did. Like I,
right.
It's upset me. Like I feel bad. And now here I am like, oh, but I remember that distinct feeling of like, maybe I won't get in trouble. And then boom, you know, like, hey, wasn't your, you know, that feeling of like, don't the report cards, you know, or like,
yep.
Adam, yeah, yeah. Adam Peacock's mom said the report cards came home. You're like,
yeah.
No, I don't think so. But the waiting to get in trouble is worse than the trouble.
100. It's easier to be grounded than it is to like find out what's going to happen to you.
I think I got lucky because listening to you guys, every time that I had an example like that of either you know, not doing what I was told or whatever, I always ended up in the hospital. Like I didn't hurt anything. I just hurt myself. Like
how many times?
My mom told me, I'm thinking of three. I have a little scar on my nose. My mom told me to stop jumping on the bed when I was a little kid and she was doing something in my room. She was like cleaning or doing something and getting me ready. And I was jumping up and down in the bed and it's still in her basement filled with a lot of these action figures that we're talking about. I fell off the bed and racked my face right off the wood edge of it, split my nose open. The day before kindergarten, she told me to stay inside, get ready for school. I went out and played. My cousin broke my leg. I ended up in the hospital for that. And then
the way you phrased that too sounds like he just was like, "All right, sorry, Adam, you lost. Now you know what happened."
You owed him money or something.
You put your leg on the curb and just stomped on your knee.
Yeah, no, we were playing football and he jumped on me and it snapped my leg. And then she told me to ride my bike in the neighborhood, and I didn't. I went behind the Farmer Jack, flipped over, shattered my shoulder, and ended up in the hospital.
That's really fun. Like, that's just so fun. Like, what a difference in our lives where you're like, yeah, no, my mom was working really hard and trying, and she was right almost every time. Like, that's so fucking funny.
And all I did was just disappoint her.
Oh, and look at you now.
Look at me now. Bad arthritis.
Mm. Did you have a favorite action figure or doll, either of you? It doesn't have to be so gendered like that, but if I know those two words of the 80s make sense.
Which is one of the hot takes I wanted to come in with is like, what even, this is not a binary, and I think it's one of the binaries from our childhoods we have to really explode.
You're 100% right, because they are just all dolls, really.
They're all dolls. Yeah. And are trucks kind of dolls? If you can buy an accessory for it, I think it's a doll.
The truck thing confuses me a little bit, like, because the more I talk to parents of young children, trucks is like, and they're like, I don't even know where my son would have gotten this gendered idea from. It's almost like it's genetic. Like,
trucks is for boys.
Well, it's almost like it's genetic, like it's got to be ingrained from like primal times. Like, they are monsters. Trucks are monsters. They're big. They're loud. They're a little scary. They are dangerous. They activate something in you. Because little kids like trucks, all of them. But the more I talk to people, they're like, I don't even know where my son got trucks from. But it's like he's got a sister. She's not into trucks.
Yeah.
He's dying for trucks. And they're like, I cannot explain it. Like, there's, and I here I am, like a childless 41-year-old being like, is that interesting? Like,
and I get that.
I heard this from six hipster kids in the west side of LA.
Well, my neighbors have a little boy. He's 2 or 3, and he's enamored with the trucks, like the cleaning trucks and the garbage trucks that come
prime
down the street.
Truck age.
Yeah. Yeah.
I babysat a 3-year-old. I got laid off in the pandemic and got like a nannying job. And was watching this kid who his like pathological need to be near them, but also terror of them. Like we would walk to the park and there was construction. He would be like, cement truck. There's a cement truck, and would like want to go up and touch it and then like get scared and run back to me and like want to go on the other side of the street. But then the next day he'd be like, I'm going to get in the truck. And I'd be like, you can't get in the truck.
I'm going to drive it.
Yeah. Maybe he was mad at me. I don't know.
15 plus years ago, I had a friend who had an older friend I worked with at VH1 who lived in my neighborhood. And so he was like my only friend with a kid because I was like 25 and he was like 35 in hindsight. I thought he was so old then. I'm now 41. And I'm like, fuck, that guy had his life together. But I ran into him on the street one time pushing a stroller with his son. And I was like, oh, Kev, what's going on? Blah, blah. It's great. I haven't seen you since he's like, oh, sorry. Do you want to walk with us? And I'm like, why? What are you guys up to? He's like, well, see, the garbage truck's going to stop at all these garbage. And like, we have to walk alongside it and time it. Like, he's like, I'm out here every Tuesday and Friday morning. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I walk the path of the garbage truck with my son every Tuesday and Friday morning. He can't get enough of it. He would eventually have a second son. The older son would get over it and be over it, but he would still have to go like, come on, take a walk with your little brother so he can watch all the trucks. And it became like, and I was like, I would just catch him if I was ever heading to the gym on a Tuesday or Friday morning. I'd be like, hey, Kev, I know, garbage day, whatever.
Truck walk.
Yeah. Truck walk. Look, there's no quick fix for anxiety and depression. It's not finding a new therapist or starting an exercise routine or more and regular meditation or a better diet. All that stuff can help, but sometimes you need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about and seeing the world. Hey, maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom. I have a few friends who have tried this and swear by it. So, you know, maybe MindBloom is the right thing for you. But there's a new tool to improve your mental health, at-home ketamine therapy. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy. Having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression, unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. So right now, MindBloom is offering our listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/mighty and use promo code MIGHTY. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and depression with MindBloom. mindbloom.com/mighty and use promo code MIGHTY. MindBloom.com/MIGHTY. All right, so jump back. Favorite toys. And yes, we can talk a little bit about this gendering of, like, if it has a gun, it's for boys, and if it has a blow dryer, it's for girls. Though those two things look exactly the same in super small articulated toys. It's like, yeah, just print it pink for the ladies and blue for the boys. That's how we know whose toy is whose. But then there'll be a show like Paw Patrol, or like, and these are a little more modern, but that kind of crosses lines in a way.
It does, because there is a girl Paw Patrol, and also it's copaganda, which I think is another genre of children's entertainment that's really interesting.
It never goes away. It's just a facet of American entertainment.
I mean, G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah, G.I. Joe is like even, they're like paramilitary. They're like ex-military. They're not
Are they not like U.S. military? Are they like a mercenary? They're Blackwater?
They are oddly sort of like Blackwater, but they are red, white, and blue coded and like sort of like American coded, but they are a secret fighting force from that's kind of like outside of boundaries.
Oh boy.
But they're mostly fighting Cobra, which is a mostly all evil, it's a terrorist organization. Yeah. Made up of mostly robots, that way you can blow them out of the sky and not feel any, no kid has to watch a human die. Like Stormtrooper rules. Although we eventually learn they're all clones, and that's fucked up that we're just murdering clones. And
Copaganda. I never thought about G.I. Joe like that.
Copaganda is crazy, too, because I grew up obsessed with action movies. And cops are like so frequently the leads, or at least dudes getting like extrajudicial revenge for some reason. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like fucking 10 years old with like a huge opinion about internal affairs. Like,
let Dirty Harry do what he's doing.
Yeah, get out of Harry Callahan's way. The guy knows what he's fucking doing here.
He's getting results, man. Like, you know.
Not like these other soft on crime Obama cops, I used to say.
Yeah, Obama cops. Really funny. We're the Obama cops. We drone strike pickpockets.
Wait a minute. Holy shit, these guys rule. The Obama cops?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Fighting terrorism, sort of not at the root at all.
Yeah.
Like not looking at the causes of terrorism, but it's like, what led to Cobra? You know, what led to Cobra Command?
This is what I'm saying. Like, why aren't the G.I. Joe guys being like, man, I feel like, you know, like Banana Republic democracy in like the 70s and 80s really let Cobra sort of amass money. Like, it helped the cartels build off of this American black market from the war.
Yeah, G.I. Joe was named in the Panama Papers. It's fucked up. And then they received funding from a man named Flint.
Okay, toys.
Favorite toys, yeah. Then we can get into more of the twisted mind control that our toys were giving us back then.
Sure.
Does
a game console count?
Oh, a game console is... what's your favorite? But for the sake of the action figures episode, let's think in that world. But yeah, Nintendo was the toy that made...
All right, so that...
Nintendo kind of made G.I. Joe's not matter in a weird way. Like, you could be like, now I'm Contra. Now I'm... And again, it's the same game. You're controlling a little person that gets to shoot and fight and stuff. And
kids just want something smaller than them, I think, is what we're getting out of this.
Or because your whole life is like in other people's hands. So it's like this weird like freedom to have someone else's quote unquote life. This figure.
Well, when you were talking earlier about why do you play with them, I never really like the control thing. I guess it is control, but I just wanted the adventure to continue. And I wanted them to do things that I couldn't do. You know, like I used to use my G.I. Joes as my wrestlers because they were really articulated. And I would make them do crazy shit, you know, just like flips and blah, blah, blah. But I thought it was cool that I couldn't do that, but they could.
Yeah, I was so into action movies that for me, G.I. Joe was a lot about like staging action sequences.
Yeah, totally.
Like, and it was just like playing more into like, dude, this guy actually has a sniper rifle. He should be doing sniper stuff. Like, you know, even though I'm like fucking 9 or 10, I'm so into this shit.
You're like, I gotta get the night scope because when dusk falls.
When dusk falls, fucking Dusty is screwed unless he can get his fucking scope on. I'm 2.5 years older than my middle brother. So like I got to be on the too old for the toys for a little longer than I got. Like I got an extra year and a half with them because it was like he's still playing with them and we're the only people home in the house. So it's not like I'm going to be like, no, dude, I'm doing this thing that's for slightly older kids. So like I stayed with it for a little longer than I thought, you know.
Oh, and nobody from school's going to see. So there's no cost.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah. And then as I got even a little older and I was in Taekwondo, one of the kids in my class was a little younger, but he had all of the G.I. Joes, like, and he pronounced it vehicle. So he had all the vehicles. And so we would go to his house after Taekwondo and in our gis play with, like, and I would stage the most. And I didn't, like, and maybe he was like a peacock style. I guess he didn't realize how good he had it with all his toys. We were like, me and my brothers were like, oh my God, you got the fucking claw. God, like we were so excited to have, like we never bought bad guys because we only wanted good guys. And like, it's like, if we can get one figure a year, we didn't want to get any, we didn't need Destro. Like no one wanted to be the villain. So it was like this weird thing. He had like the bad guys would be like staging all this. And I was definitely at like, you know, a freshman in high school being like, all right, well, this is it after this, you know, but I was still so into it. And I definitely was like lying to myself that it's mostly for my 12-year-old brother.
That's how I felt when I went to a midnight release for one of the middle Harry Potter books.
At what age?
Yeah, I know you're exactly my age, Adam. So no, it doesn't matter which one.
Yeah,
you're,
no, I can't too lie about it. I did. I went to a Borders at like midnight and pretended like I was there for something else.
Oh, yeah. I'm just coming here to pick up some porno magazines.
I'm here to have sex with chicks, girls in my class.
Yeah, I'm supposed to meet a sex worker here and fuck them. Oh, the Prisoner of Azkaban. Let me throw this in the old bag.
I worked at Borders. I worked one of the midnight releases. And I remember at like 16, like a high school job. And I remember pretending to be so over it and being like, oh, I'm just not even going to wear a costume. I just don't even care. These books are for babies. And then taking wine home and just fucking tearing through it.
Yeah.
I never really was into Harry. I've read all the Harry Potters when the movies started dropping in like my early 20s, like 23 or 24. I was like, oh, and then it was like, oh, I see why everyone likes these. These are pretty good, but mostly very easy to read and like a rich world. But I had already been reading a ton of like D&D fantasy novels at this point. So for me, it was like finding why, like it was, I later on would read Hunger Games so I could read something that my wife was reading. And after having read hundreds of sci-fi novels, you're like, oh, I get why this is so popular. This is like repackaging like famous or popular concepts for like a whole new crowd of young people across genders and everything like that. So I feel like when I was reading Harry Potter, it was like, but I did feel too old to be reading it. And then you meet someone who's like they only have to be like 5 or 6 years younger than me. And then they are the same age as the characters. And that meant a lot to a lot of people, like friend of the pod, Jess McKenna. She one time explained to me, she's like the same grade. And like the books would come out and the kids would be the same age as her every time. I'm like, ooh, that's like a kind of a fucking dream come true for a book. Like the main character, I mean, for a narcissist to read like myself, it's like, yes, they're my age. Yes, everything. Oh, this it's is just like
this
me.
Is about me.
Yeah. I am not a muggle. See, Mom? Okay, so 45 minutes later, favorite figures or dolls. And I have also interrupted this six times, so it's me. Don't worry. It's not you, it's me.
Oh, I'm having fun.
Mine's Legos.
Oh, Legos. Interesting.
You
yeah.
like the little people?
Legos. Yeah, I love yeah. Legos.
Do you
still love still, Legos?
That was going to be my follow-up question. You still have some passion for Legos, huh?
I don't. We don't have any of those adult sets around, but I'm very excited for our niece and nephew to get to the older Lego part.
Yeah, you don't
of
have
their
like
childhood.
You don't have like a fucking 12,000 piece Death Star that you built or anything
no,
like that.
No, I don't.
I know a lot of people price. Who are like that, so I'm not. Yeah. I don't hold any judgment for that because that also feels sort of like a. And I'm in my 40s now when I'm concerned with like anti-Alzheimer's activities, you know, like I'm like,
yes.
the crossroad.
Yeah. Step it up,
oh,
man.
No. I'm shit. I
oh,
better.
No.
Six down. quick.
Draw clock.
Oh, no. Which one? What's a clock again?
Oh,
yeah. Legos is a classic one, too, man, because that is like I never. That wasn't as fun for me. Now, as a grown-up, like, when my nephew or someone's like, help me put this together, Uncle Nani, I'm like, okay, this is kind of fun. But when I was younger, it felt too much like homework to me. Like, I wanted just, like,
enough
a,
for it to, like, yeah. read the instructions and, like, save these ones over here, so.
To, like, care, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't old enough to give a shit or, like, it just wasn't in my purview to be like, this is important. I was just like a little fucking rat fuck who was just like, I want guns. I want nunchucks. I want characters cutting fucking characters' heads
I
off.
I want to set it on fire.
Yeah, I want to light fire. I want to light the school on fire. Yeah. I want to jerk off at a sleepover with all my friends.
Were boys really doing that?
I can't speak to boys as a whole because the last time I brought this up, every single person at the function disagreed with me.
Mm.
But I was. Like,
I was at a party where somebody jerked off. So I'm with you, John.
Yeah. I was at a sleep. Like, we would have a sleepover and my friend had like spice in his living room and we would all kind of like go off into like weird corners and just kind of like, you know, masturbate in our sleeping bags or whatever. It was. In hindsight, disgusting and
that's interesting.
Pretty yeah, sure. homoerotic, but at the time, you know.
Was it just acknowledged like, well, it's a Saturday night, we're all going to have a little secret camping jerk off?
Yeah, it kind of was. We'd be like, we'd play like video games or cards or whatever until like it got to be a point where it's like, all right, I think everyone's asleep upstairs. And we'd like, put on a porno and just all go our separate ways.
That is
when pornos had stories and boys could jerk off in a room. Make America great again.
Bring back the Jenna Jamesons and the...
Yeah, where's Vivid Video these days? Give me, you know,
I drive past the building that used to be their office building and it does... Because right when I moved to LA, it was Vivid
on Cahuenga Boulevard West, right?
Yeah, and when I drive past now, I'm like, oh, something has passed from the valley.
Yeah, I remember shooting... Adam Devine web series in Chatsworth and being like, this foyer in this house looks super familiar. Being like,
black leather couches.
Yeah. A lot of those houses have that like wraparound like foyer thing where you're like, oh, I guess those are in some houses. Like right this
a red
way.
See-through wall for no reason.
Right. Yeah. So I'll go off two of my favorite. I of course I love G.I. Joe and obviously, a lot of this stuff was IP-based, so like I like the show and the toy kind of equally in my mind. But there was another toy called Centurions, and that was made up of three dudes, Sea, Air, and Land. That wasn't their name. They were like Max, Jake, and Ace or something like that. But they had holes in their body, in their suits on the show. It was suits, but in the figures, it was on their body. And you could attach different, they had like different kits more or less, which like Max, and so they would always be like Centurions and they would like form up and then like all this gear would come on them depending if they were the water guy or the land guy or the air guy, their gear would be specific to the mission. And I was obsessed with that when I was, because I also like loved the water, so I always wanted to be
the water guy,
Max.
Oh yeah, when they do different types of things, oh, that scratches a deep itch.
Oh, dude, that shit has worked on me since I was a kid. Like, even that's what got me to like sports is like the big, strong, fat guys are the line, the fast guys are this. Like, all that stuff mattered to me. And like, that's what got me into X-Men, into D&D, like all these were.
Oh, that was my D&D shit. Absolutely. Yeah. Because it was like just, if I know what type it is, then I know how to play the game.
Yeah. And there's everyone has different specialties and they're working together. And it's like, well, I'm the big strong guy, so I'll do this. Well, I'm the sneaky person, I'll do this. Like, that shit all mattered to me. And in hindsight, it's got me into like why I think I like improv. It's why I like all these things that are like team-based adjacent things where it's like everyone brings their own strength. X-Men, D&D, I've rattled off these already. But like, oh, it's what got me into Special Forces. Like, I was like the only 12-year-old kid who had read like every account of Navy SEALs in Vietnam. I'm like, I was literally in seventh grade and I had read every Chief Doc Watson book, starting with Point Man and all about the formation of the BUDS, the UDT, Underwater Demolition Team, that would later become the Navy SEALs. Like, I was so versed in the history of Navy SEALs and all their weaponry because it was the same shit for me. And that's why that shit, G.I. Joe and all that, is clearly soft military power as well. Mm-hmm. So Centurions, and then there was another TV show called Mask that was like not the Rocky Dennis story with Cher, but and not the green.
We're
always talking about that, Pika.
Oh man, I love that.
You love Cher. You're a big Cher head.
It's such a weird movie to like love. People our age, it was just on a lot, and you'd be like, yes, "I really like this movie." And then you like watch it now, and it's like, I don't think I should have been really. He like is friends with like a biker gang, and you're like, "That's cool. They're open minded, even though he's weird looking." You know, like, and like, it taught me the most basic lessons in like such a distinct way. I was like,
so that is a kid's movie. That's what they're supposed to, that's their function.
Right. Yeah. I guess that took it away from me not judging books by their cover. Because, you know, Rocky Dennis was actually pretty cool.
Okay. He wanted to go see the world.
Right. But there was this cartoon called Mask, and it was like, it would be like the dudes had like repelling things on their arms, but also it was like in between Transformers and G.I. Joe, like the tractor trailer would open up and reveal like a base, or it would convert into like a weapon or something. But the thing that was fun about the toys, all the Mask figures had like, you know, 10 to what I remember being like 20 feet of like string that came off, probably in hindsight, 6 or so. And they had like a little like zip line thing. So you could like attach a little string and have them slide or swing. And that kind of opened up gameplay with the action figures, because normally you'd always have to be holding them, but all of a sudden getting to swing a dude across would be like so radical, you know. It'd be really open up to a third dimension of play for us short little kids. Go off a fucking bunk bed on a zip line.
The action movie like set pieces that you could do with that, my mind is spinning.
Yeah, that's like all that mattered to me. It was like, all right, we're raiding. Now remember, there's, and I would be so like, I was such a little fucking military dork. I'd be like, they have 250 caliber machine guns mounted here behind sandbags, so you have to be careful. It's like, why do I know military strategy at like 11? Oh, because I'm indoctrinated by this shit all day, every day.
Wait, you said, what books were you reading? The Ron Watson books?
Doc Watson. Yeah, Point Chief Man was the name of one of the books, if I remember.
Point Man.
I'm going to look this.
But then I also read like all the Clancy Special Forces stuff, like Rainbow Six. Like I just, anything that was Navy SEAL adjacent, I read it, including all like the real, you know, I'm like, they're blowing up hooches full of VC. And like, I don't even know what any of those words mean, but it meant so much to me.
Because I think they make it seem like the military is a thing that like smart people with a lot of choices opt into. Like,
yes.
I feel like all of those books and shows were like, this guy could have done anything, but he was in the military. Whereas in reality, it's a lot of poor people being like, I don't know.
Fully taken advantage of, like, systematically left with zero choices but this.
Yeah.
You go to jail or you go to the Marines. Those are great.
We're being
this
shown
is a
something.
Centurion. This is a Centurion. Oh, I bought it. Look. This is humiliating. I bought it as a grown-up at a vintage toy shop. I'll show you the price tag.
No, that rips. Wait,
$68.
But it's complete. It says complete on it, though.
It says complete, but you know what it is missing? The missile that goes in this little missile launcher. But
oh,
like,
shit. Yeah,
like, look at
cool.
this guy's look. This is a guy that I, like, a toy I worship. Look at this guy's look. It's like an 80s cartoon of a gay man. It's like, he's got, like, you know, like, this is exactly what, like, 80s gay looked like. He's got a nice haircut, thick mustache, tight bod. But yeah, this is the water guy, if you will.
I, as an adult, got a little dirty.
Oh, shit, dude. oh shit, let's
I went
make-
on Etsy and I found the Polly Pocket house that I always wanted because it lights up inside. Now, this
Amazing.
One is broken, but somewhere in my brain, I was like, I'll fix it. I'll learn electrical wiring and I'll fix it so it lights up.
Let me get my soldering iron to... Oh, wait, what is that? Is that a little bottle of fentanyl pills?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was still playing, just updated some of the specifics.
She's got a little Narcan. You just can't see it because it's so tiny.
She's smart, though. She's doing educated drug use.
Yeah. This is not very good,
but this is the best I can do of the things that I brought with
can
me.
Can reach.
This is my Rasheed Wallace bobblehead. It's not really an action figure, but I like it.
Hey, it's a figure and it has an action. Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. What else do you need?
What else do you need?
I'm realizing I have...
Oh, he's rolling away, but he's coming back.
I've got it. This is a very new... Someone sent me this because I wanted to play him in the movie so badly. In the comics, I kind of look like him, not so much in the figurine. Mm-hmm. We have a similar face. And so I really pushed for myself to play people. I really tweeted, I want to play Hercules. And then they gave it to Brett Goldstein, like as if he was a huge name from Ted Lasso and all that. It's okay. At least Marvel crumbled, so I don't feel bad that I missed it.
Yeah. Disney's not doing great. You know what would have happened is you would have been in it. It would have been so good, but it would have still been riding this wave of everyone being tired of Marvel.
Yeah, I would have been part of the problem rather than part of the... Also, I love like a audio podcast where we're just holding up toys we have and going like, isn't this cool?
Look at this. I mean, that's what this was going to turn into, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, eventually it was undeniable. So Polly Pocket was your favorite, Caitlin.
Polly Pocket was my favorite. I also, and look, this is me saying a lot of stuff about class and the way I was raised with wealth. I had an American Girl doll.
Ooh.
And those cost $100 in 90s money. So that was like a big,
Jesus
big
Christ.
Christmas. Yeah. I know.
That's awesome.
Like two bikes and it fucking ruled. Great accessories, lots of fun stuff you could do with them. But
they had like backstory, right? Like there was different American girls that you could get, American Girl dolls that you can get, making it sound like I'm fucking in Taken. You could get any American girl you want. Like
any American girls you want.
But they each had like a different backstory. Like this is
Wayfair,
you know,
salesman over here.
Yeah. Oh shit. QAnon shutting down our podcast. Just the press I needed.
Yeah, they had little books. They were all from like different time periods in history. And you could like get the little book with them.
Do you remember the one you got or the one you really wanted? Please.
I got the one that I wanted. It was Addie, who had escaped slavery. A lot of their stories were like, I made a victory garden with my mother. And like, we were pioneers and my little sister got sick, but then she got better. And Addie was like, I fucking like at midnight, we snuck away from the men and the dogs and like swam through a river with nothing on our backs. And my dad was like whipped. It was just like the darkest.
Holy shit.
Most hardcore backstory. And then the doll was like, just like a cute little doll.
Right. That's always the funniest thing is that they all have like the same exact expression on their face and like cute.
Yeah.
But it's like, what's your story? It's like, I was in the undercarriage of a steamer ship that was leaving from Poland in 1940. You're like, okay, this is sad. But oh, you like doggies and hairbrushing.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. It was always just like,
you are bumming everybody out.
I think Addie had like a tray of cookies because she likes to make cookies or something. Like,
oh,
like,
man, you got to respect Addie. She fucking bounced back hard from her trials and tribulations. And,
truly.
Like, really,
and she was a rich, full character. That was not the defining thing about her. You know, I learned a lot about the Great Migration. It was a good doll.
That was funny because I was that plugged in to like the G.I. Joe figures and stuff, too. Everyone was just like, this guy is cool. And I'd be like, oh, that's Shockwave. He's a radio operator. He's an expert. Because they used to say, like, in the G.I. Joe trading cards, it'd be like, specialty, primary specialty, and like secondary specialty. And there would always be like, sometimes it would be kind of funny or something that would. The other thing I liked about, and tying it all, that G.I. Joe was totally the stuff I liked, where it was like, this guy's name is Roadblock. He's a big, strong guy who has a big gun. This guy's name is Quick Kick. He has no weapons and no shoes. He does martial arts. Like, I like love that specialization from everyone. And then once you get the dolls with all the fucking, I mean, the cards and like the info and you know all that about them, it just like fleshes it out. Then now you're getting the narrative, right? Now you're,
they look like little files, like manila folder files.
Yes, that's exactly. I remember it would be like classified, like stamped across it and stuff. And or sometimes it'd be like Snake Eyes, unknown origin, unknown, unknown. And you're like, oh, he's the coolest.
You know,
it's
a white guy. I never got the Snake Eyes for no other. I don't think we could find it with the blue one. The one where he had the red goggles and like the hot pink weapons.
Oh, that was the coolest one. I did not have that one either. I wanted that one so bad. We love the. I said before we had no bad guys, but in my house we did have Storm Shadow because ninjas ruled above everything else.
Oh,
we
were all ninjas
in martial arts
90s.
Classes, and it was the '80s and nineties. Ninjas ruled all.
Very important.
Yeah. Ninjas would be something like you dressed up as Halloween for like 9 years in a row. I'd be like, dude, I just want to be a ninja again. You'd be like 17 and be like, I look cool as a ninja. Just feels cool. Now my
As an adult.
It'd be, if you, the second you're on a, in a sketch or something like that, and they're like, here, put on this like bulletproof vest or this harness or this holster. All of a sudden you're like, it just snaps into like little kid mode. You're like, I'm fucking ready.
Dude, I did a commercial for Hulu and I got to wear one of the Mayans like biker cuts.
Oh, awesome. I would have fucking bugged out. Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to keep it so fucking bad, but they were very much like,
you're going to get jumped in a fucking bar by a bunch of like the fucking Marine Corps leathernecks or whatever. Oh, that's so fucking funny.
But it's instant like what you were just talking about. I feel like a stupid little kid. Like,
dude, my little nephew, my brother has to like limit his costume time. So he gets like an hour after dinner where he's allowed to like run around in his in his Hulk costume. He just like
that's
wants
so
to.
Cute.
And it's, and you hear about this more and more, at least anecdotally, and most of my friends are in entertainment, so their kids are specific. You know, and you more and more kids, and I'm like, yeah, of course it's for outside of Halloween. Like, if I had a fucking ninja costume when I was a kid, I would have put that shit on every day after school and, like, ran around my yard. I remember when we got, like, my grandpa was in the Army, and he got us, like, all these surplus camo stuff in, like, small sizes. And we wore that, like, we'd, like, change into the camo to play in the yard and shit. And, like, costumes are, you want to talk, that's a real graduation from fucking playing with the water toy until you get like fucking, like my nephew has like goggles that have like a shark fin on the top and like little swimming hands that have like little, like that look like little animal claws. I'm like, that shit fucking rules, man. That's like becoming an action figure.
Oh, I have.
You
like
get
a-
to actually escape from slavery like that. Maybe that's not one for any of us to cosplay.
That's why I really understand the experience. We had like.
That's how I learned empathy was from the American.
Other than that, don't have it. Yeah, my dad was a Ren Faire guy. He like worked at the Renaissance Fair.
Oh,
as a
cool.
Kid.
Okay.
And our costume closet was absolutely outrageous. It was like a corner of my mom's closet, and I would get in there with my little friends, and we would just go ape shit, or just like tinfoil robots. Like, yeah, costumes
awesome.
Were bigger than dolls.
What did your dad do at the Ren Faire? Do you remember? Or did he ever, like,
he had
what
a
was
few,
his?
He is a good, he's actually a great juggler. So he would, like, sit up in a tree and juggle and then, like, throw a ball down at a couple and then make fun of the guy.
Hell
I
yeah.
I guess for money.
That's great.
Yeah, that's like, that was an original kind of part of the Ren Faire that I really liked when I was a kid and I started going to Sterling Forest in Tuxedo, New York, way back in the day. Now I go to the Renaissance Pleasure Fair in Irvine, California.
God, I love that place. It's so. Did you go there?
Irvington, not
Irwindale.
Irvine. Yeah. Irwindale. I could third guess.
Circling it.
I love
Ren Faire. I've
never been. Oh, dude.
You haven't?
I've never been to a Ren Faire.
You would. I think you would love it.
I'm literally about to say you would love it, and then I'm like, how much do I really know about Adam? Like, let me unpack this. I think you would like it. The games, now that I'm way, when I was younger, I was really taken by just, like, seeing people holding swords. Mm-hmm. Now I'm old enough that, and I've done actual, like, entertainment jobs and got to see cool shit like that. Now it's fun because there's, like, the target games where you're like, I can throw ninja stars, axes, spears,
shoot
daggers,
arrows.
Shoot arrows. That's all really fun. the vibes of like kind of the people that are there, it's somewhere between theater and horniness. Like it's got the horniness of like a theater club in a way that kind of permeates it. And since I was a kid, I've been a fan of big boobs.
Oh,
they're rampant.
You're never gonna see.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
great.
Sure you can already picture it, but like all of the like ale tents or whatever are just like H cups spilling
gravity defying. Almost the way I would describe it is, have you ever gotten like a martini glass that was like filled to the top, or like a coupe that was filled with champagne to the top, and it would like move around a little bit but not spill out?
Yeah.
These women could somehow sometimes get their boobs to be so horizontal.
Yes.
In a way that you cannot understand the structure of it. They don't seem, they're not fake, which is sometimes how you can understand purely horizontal breasts, but they have some serious heft to them. But due to a system of corsets and pulleys or whatever, they get this sort of like, I can't explain it. It's like a literally like they're walking around with a lake in front of them, a lake made of breast meat.
And
it's
just
wild.
Yeah, like if Jell-O could sort of escape the surly bonds of like a plate and just hang out into space.
Yeah. I jump out of the tree and just pencil in or like dive.
I you guys sold me like the axe throwing thing, but just hearing you talk about boobs for this long is so nice.
I was sold on axe throwing. All this boob stuff is literal icing on the cake.
Yeah, if you want to relive being like any part of your childhood game stuff, they got it for you.
It's pretty rad. And now I dress up and shit and buy myself a new piece of a gear every year. So now I have a little bit of a kit that I can rock. Dude, I could talk costumes. You got to come back and talk costumes since we barely talked action figures.
Sorry.
This time around. That's not anyone's fault but my own. Don't you worry. No one comes here to hear what the actual topic is. Who gives a fuck? What they do come here for is to hear your plugs, to wonder where they can listen to you outside of the constraints of this stupid podcast. Where can they get more Caitlin and Adam?
Well, you can find both Caitlin and I on our show Versus, and I also host another show called My Neighbors Are Dead.
Yes, I've been a guest on.
You've
My
both
Neighbors
of you.
Are Dead. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So you check that out. But also tell us a little bit about Versus, because that's new to me at least.
Yeah, Versus is a show where Adam and I pick two characters and we debate which one's better. Simple, clean premise. The characters we're picking are getting increasingly stupid. We started out with like Nightwing versus Spider-Man, and we've escalated to Jason Bourne versus Goldie Hawn's character in Overboard.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What are some other stupid ones?
Two famous amnesiacs.
Exactly. They're both thrown off a boat.
Right. What do we do? We're doing Lightning McQueen versus Christine.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up.
For Halloween.
Hot car-on-car action.
Exactly. Right. And it's on Q-Code and Wood Elf Media, and it's a fun time. We play little improv games.
So wherever you get, whatever you're doing to listen to this podcast right now, take your phone out, open up the app, and just follow Versus. Subscribe for now. Listen for sure. But even if you're not going to do that, at least subscribe for now. And then you'll be like, oh, what was this podcast? Then you'll catch up with it later when you're like, just get on there. Give them the fucking metrics. Hook it up.
Honestly,
listen
and
just enjoy it. They're two funny people. But
you don't even have
time
to listen. Put it on silent and just let it play. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on all of your friends' cars when you get in there. Like, just add it to every phone. I was at the fucking Apple store subscribing all the iPads to my podcast last time I was there.
That's a brilliant idea.
My wife had to go get something done at the Genius Bar, and she's like, "Oh, I'm like, I'll just walk around," and I just subscribe to High and Mighty on like I think they like wipe them every day or something like that. But we'll
for
see
that one
worked.
Day, that's you really were a funny king.
Yeah, I climbed the ranks. I judged the algorithm in such a way. As for me, any other plugs? I'm sorry.
You can listen to Lizard People. We're still, it's around.
Oh, Lizard People still out there. Again, another podcast I was on. So you can find, God knows how long ago that was. You can find, I say that for listeners who I assume are like, I'm such a diehard Gabers fan. I'll follow them anywhere.
If you
but
need more gay boy in your ears, just scroll on back. I'm sorry.
You want a little gay boy in your ears?
Sorry if that was retraumatizing.
I like the way how annoyed your football coach was at the beginning, John, that you raised your hand to answer a question. Yeah, gay boy. Well, you asked me what was it.
The fuck do you want to answer the question in this class? I might be the only kid paying attention. Maybe foster that. You can check out my other podcast. It costs money, but there's free episodes out there. So check out Action Boys Pod, actionboys.biz, or free.actionboys.biz gets you to the few free episodes we got popping. So get your little ass over there and check it out. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it. Do it.
Come on.
Do it now.